As we seek to prepare our hearts to partake of the supper of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and we read once again and meditate upon those specific verses that deals with the administration and partaking of the supper. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we turn our attention to verses 27 through 29, and we will focus this morning on verse 28 in the command to examine ourselves. We'll read verses 27 through 29, and we'll focus on verse 28. Give heed now to the reading of God's holy and inerrant word. Therefore, whoever eats this bread and drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Let's pray together. Great God in heaven, as we seek to prepare ourselves to partake of the table of your Son, a table that has been set before redeemed sinners who are thirsty and hungering for communion with Christ and for encouragement to their Christian walk. Lord, we bless your name for this great blessing you have given to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray as we come before it, especially as we consider your words in these verses in 1 Corinthians, Father, we pray that it would bless us, that it would enlighten our minds and our hearts. That it would help us, O Lord, indeed, to search ourselves, to examine ourselves in an honest manner, in a sincere manner, so that we may partake of the bread and of the cup with a clean conscience and with our souls and hearts ready to be blessed. In Jesus' name, Father, we pray all these things. Amen. I'm sure that each one of us, when we were attending school, we certainly did have a favorite thing about school. Maybe it was a specific class with a specific teacher. We enjoyed that specific instruction, the way he taught, the way he addressed us. And we couldn't just wait for that specific day to come so that we could see the teacher again and listen to his teachings. Maybe some of us enjoyed the lunchtime. Lunchtime was the favorite time, the time when you would break with everything and when you would see your friends and you would be able to talk and to catch up with them. Maybe for some of us, the best time was the time to go back home when everything was done and we didn't have to sit at school anymore. And we would go back to our homes and enjoy our families and be there with those whom we love. Regardless of those specific moments in school that you enjoyed, there is certainly one moment that all of us didn't enjoy, and it was exam time. I'm very positive that none of us here who sit today enjoyed those hours when we would squeeze ourselves in our chairs trying to answer those questions, doubting if our answers were correct. And after the text, after the examination itself, you would be wondering, what's the grade that is coming for us? What are we going? What is the teacher's evaluation? Although there were moments in our school life that we enjoyed, certainly the examination time was one of those times that we would like to escape. We would like to avoid. We would like to just jump and go to the next thing. But just like in regular school, in the school of Christ, we need to go through examination. In the school of Jesus, we all ought to sit, and we do not have a proctor to place before us an examination. He commands us to examine ourselves. Although that may not be a pleasant exercise, although that may be not an exercise that we spend a lot of time with, we are nevertheless commanded to do that, as we can see clearly in this passage. It is necessary for our souls. It is necessary to partake of the supper in a way that will bless us and truly spiritually benefit us. Let us therefore this morning really exercise the duty of self-examination. It may not be easy. It may not be comfortable. It may destabilize us in some sort of way as we really unveil what is really hidden in our heart and as we come clean before our Lord. But that is a divine command. And that's a divine command for our own good and for our own protection. As we focus particularly in verse 28 this morning, we'll notice that the examination of ourselves is a divine command that requires a particular method and grants much security. As we examine ourselves, let us keep that in our minds. First, that it is a divine command. Second, it does require a specific method. And third, let us be reminded that it grants us much, much security. As we look in verse 28, we read this striking expression, "Let a man examine himself." Now, there's no doubt here that according to the word, according to the Greek originals, and even in our English language, this statement is in the imperative. That's both the original verbal tense in the Greek original and also here in our Bibles. This is a direct command. It reveals God's will as anyone will come to partake of the table of the Lord. It reveals that there is this requirement, there is this spiritual duty that no one ought to approach the table without fulfilling this command. Now, like all the other commands of the Bible, examine yourself stands in par with them. Take, for example, the Ten Commandments. We are so serious about the Ten Commandments, are we? We read them every Lord's Day. We use the Ten Commandments to examine our lives. We use the Ten Commandments to guide our ways, to evaluate how we are living in this world. And as a command, as the Ten Commandments, so also examine yourself stands. Christian, you are commanded by God Himself, by the Lord of the table, to examine yourself, to exercise this spiritual duty before you put your hand in the plate, before you use your fingers to drink from the cup. Failure to perform this duty is a sin. Have you ever thought about that? Failure to participate of the supper without duly self-examination is a breach in this command. And just like breaking any of the Ten Commandments, breaking this imperative, breaking this command, constitutes also a sin before the Lord Jesus Christ. For He Himself is the one who issues the command to all of us. He Himself is the one that demands from all those whom He have saved, from all those whom He having gathered in His church to partake of the supper after duly self-examination. Neglect this duty is a grievous sin before the Lord. Is a disrespect before the Lord of the table. Is a disregard for His own regulation and a stipulation for anyone to come before this table. But it's also a disregard for His protection towards us. When you look again back at the text, you notice that verse 28, the command to examine ourselves, come right after the possibility of us being guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Look at verse 27. Therefore, whomever eats this bread and drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Right after this possibility, this horrendous possibility of being guilty of the death of Christ, of being guilty of, just like those Romans and Jews who crucified the Lord Jesus at the cross, just before the threatening possibility comes the command, examine yourself. Now, their command, therefore, is not simply a duty, is it? The command is made to protect yourself. The command is given by the Lord Jesus Christ so that you would be protected before partaking of the supper. So that you who have been washed by the blood of the Lamb, so that you who have been gathered by the Holy Spirit may exercise those spiritual gifts and blessings and come and partake and have a fruitful participation of the Lord's Supper. Therefore, this morning, let us be encouraged. Let us be encouraged indeed to partake after self-examination. Maybe you didn't spend any time this past week examining yourselves, even though you knew that today the supper would be administered. But there is still time. Take this time as we are going through this text, as we are examining the Word of God, to examine your own heart, to examine your own life. Let us take seriously this duty. Let us understand that that not obeying this divine command is indeed a sin against God. Let us not neglect, therefore, the command of the Lord, but let us be encouraged that this is not a burden to ourselves, but it's a blessing. It is a command that protects us from being guilty of partaking in an unworthy manner. But how are we going to examine ourselves? And that's the next thing we cover in this verse. As we consider again the command, let a man examine himself. It's interesting to note that this statement in itself contains a lot of information that rarely we ponder on. Examine yourself is the command. Now, the first thing we should really consider as we think about this is the goal, isn't it? When the Lord Jesus gives us a command to examine ourselves, the first goal is that there is a personal responsibility on this exercise. The responsibility to perform this duty is not of the elders, or the deacons, or the pastor, or of your parents. The responsibility to examine yourself is yours. The Lord Jesus places this duty upon the shoulders of those who have been admitted to the table. There is a personal burden, there is a personal responsibility to examine yourself, to look into your own soul, to look into your own heart, to examine how you have been walking before you come before the elements of the table. It is a personal duty. But the main goal that flows out of this personal duty, it's a personal analysis, isn't it? You see, the word here, examine yourself, is the Greek dokmazo. And it means something very interesting. It is almost like you becoming a detective of your own life. Just as a detective go through following different tips and examining and investigating to come to a conclusion, so are we to become before we approach the table of the Lord. The Greek word means to learn if something is genuine through testing. Now apply this to yourself. The method is in the word, isn't it? The method of self-examination is testing your own life. Is examining yourself to the point of making an examination, a thorough and honest and sincere testing, looking for evidences so that you can come up with a judgment. That's what examine yourself means. Now, what about yourself? What are we to look upon our own lives? What are we made of? You see, when the command clearly says, examined himself, it is pointing to the whole person. Now, the whole person is generally addressed in the law of God. For example, when we are commanded, when we are given a gist of the first main command. You remember in Matthew 22, when the Lord Jesus is asked, what are the commandments? He responds saying, you shall love your Lord with all your heart, soul, and your mind. And it really became really common among Reformed theologians to understand that we are made of these three constituent parts. As human beings, we are made of a mind, of a heart, and of a soul. And the canons of Dort, in the third and fourth head articles, when talking about the depravity of man and total depravity, our forefathers really explained in the same way. They said, rather in their place, they brought upon themselves blindness, terrible darkness, futility, and distortion of judgment in their minds, perversity, defiance, and hardness in their hearts, and finally, impurity in all their emotions. So basically, when we are commanded to examine ourselves, we are supposed to examine ourselves in all our totality, in all areas of our lives, which according to the scriptures involve the heart, the mind, and the soul. Now, when we are talking about the mind, for example, it's talking about what we know, isn't it? We are to examine what we know. For example, we are to examine what we know about God. What do you know about God, Christian? Do you sit here today assured of the existence of God? Or have you been doubting God's existence? Sometimes different circumstances in our lives lead us to these questions, these terrible questions that really trouble our souls. Maybe that's your case this morning. The Word of God commands you, examine your mind. Examine what you know. Do you truly know and are aware of God's existence? Are you truly aware of God's power and providence in all creation and even in your life? Do you know God's attributes, who He is, what He likes and what He dislikes? As we try to examine what we know, we also should test, what do we know about Christ? What does our mind know about Christ? Do we truly acknowledge Him as the Messiah? Do we truly acknowledge Him and know Him to be Savior and Lord of sinners who come before Him seeking salvation? Do we truly know that He is God and man, united forever, that He is in heaven in glorified body, awaiting that great day when He will come to rescue us? Do we know these things? Christian, how is your mind this morning? Examine yourself, commands the Word of God. What do you know? What do you know? What do you know about yourself? Do you know that you yourself is a sinner in desperate need of salvation? Is this the knowledge with which you come before this table? The Word of God commands, examine yourself. Examine your knowledge. Do you know who God is? Do you know who Jesus is? But do you know who you are? Desperately in need of salvation. Desperately in need of the vicarious atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ. The atonement, the sacrifice of Himself that replaced your place, that took your place at the cross and shed His blood in the place of your blood. The sacrifice that really atones for sin, that is the only tool to really be in peace and reconciled with God. Christian, what do you know? Examine your mind this morning. What about your will? Well, we are supposed not only to love our Lord with all our mind, but we are also supposed to love our Lord with all our soul. Now, our soul is the seat of the will. It's where the will of man, what drives man, is really located. That's where we find what makes men act. And therefore, when our forefathers in the Canons of Dort talks about the hardness of their hearts and will, they are talking about our daily life. They are talking about how we live, how we act. Because of the hardening of our wills, we are not acting according to the commands of God anymore. And therefore, the command, examine yourself, involves your knowledge, your mind, but involves also your soul, your will, your life. And therefore, we are supposed to examine our actions. Christian, what is your will towards God? Do you experience your will more and more inclined to the Word of God, to the will of God, more and more inclined to please Him? Your will more and more inclined to follow Him and to spend time with Him and to get to know Him more? We need to examine our will as well regarding our neighbor. Do you find yourself willing, inclined more and more to seek the well-being of your neighbor, just as you seek your own well-being? Is your will now inclined to love him more, to respect him more, to give him the honor that is due to him because of the image of God that he bears? Oh, Christian, examine your will this morning. Examine what you know, but also examine how your soul is. What are your inclinations? What about the inclinations that we have towards ourselves? Is your will this morning inclined to seek self-pleasure or self-mortification? Is your will more and more inclined to the seek of self-sanctification? Or is your will more and more inclined to feed your ego and your belly and your desires, seeking a self-centered life? Christian, it's time for us to examine ourselves before we come and partake, so that we would not be guilty of the blood and the body of Christ. We also need to examine our hearts. You see, in the Word of God, hearts is frequently addressed as the whole man, all that he represents. But as we have seen in the Canons of Dort, there is also a specific or particular application that as a constituent part of human beings, not only is the mind, not only is the will, but also the affections. Now, affections are very different from sentiments, from feelings. Affections are those desires that are divinely enticed in us by the Spirit of God. And therefore, when we examine ourselves, we are also to ask, what are our affections look like? What are our affections towards our Savior, for example? Do we do have a supreme love and affection, an awe and adoration as we come to partake of this table? Do we truly have our affections enticed to love Christ more, to examine ourselves more, to dedicate more of our lives to Him? Do we seek to rejoice, and are we enticed and encouraged to have more fellowship with Him? You see, our affections, Christians, now that they have been regenerated by the Spirit of God, they are now to be examined in light of what man has been ideally created for. The duty of self-examination is a serious duty. And unfortunately, we have been neglecting this duty so many times. We take it lightly. But we are to examine our mind. We are to examine our will. And we are also to examine our affections. What are our affections towards our salvation? Do you sit here this morning rejoicing in the salvation that Christ has conquered for you? Here's the picture. Here's the picture of your salvation, Christian. When you come before this table, here is the picture, the physical and visible representation of what was necessary for you to be spared from hell, for you to be brought back to God, your Creator, who became also your Redeemer. And therefore, as we come before this table, is our gratitude enticed? Do we treasure our salvation even more as the most treasured possession that we could ever have? More than the best job, more than the best car, more than the best house, more than the best marriage, more than the best son or daughter. Examine yourself, Christian. Let us take seriously this duty this morning, the duty of self-examination. And it ought to be a constant concern for us, a constant concern. We are always sitting at the school of Christ. We are always before this great master, this great teacher. He's everlastingly before ourselves, and we are everlastingly before Him. The duty of self-examination is a daily exercise, not only reserved for the table, but it ought to be a daily exercise, but especially today, especially now, especially during communion. Let us examine ourselves. Examine your mind. What do you know? What have you been thinking? Examine your will. What do you desire? What are your actions? Examine your affections. What have you been feeling? But the duty of self-examination, in addition to being a divine command, and also in addition to being an exercise that requires a particular method, the duly investigation and examination of our will, affections, and mind, it is also a passport to security. It is a passport to security. Look at the rest of the verse. After giving this command, let a man examine himself. Then comes another command. And so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. You see, just as examine yourself is in the imperative, also is eat and drink. We have already considered this some months ago, the duty of partaking of the supper. That none of those who have been admitted to the supper have the right to skip it, have the right to avoid it. No, they have the duty of self-examination. And as they examine themselves, as they examine and investigate themselves, then they are to obey the command, come, eat, and drink. Now you notice that as there is this connection between examining yourself and partaking of the supper, the examination starts to be a condition, right? Those only who can examine themselves can come and partake of this table. Look again at the verse. Examine yourself and eat and drink. Well, you need to do the first part of the verse so you can perform the second part. Verse 28 establishes this condition of without which no one should approach the table. And therefore, that's the reason why, for example, you children yet do not come to the table. Because children are still in progress into building all that is necessary, gathering all the tools necessary to examine their minds, to examine their wills, and to examine their affections. That is also why those who we doubt, those who do not have a profession of faith, a confession of their belief in Christ, should not come and partake of the table. Why? Because they need to examine themselves. Well, how are they going to examine themselves, especially their minds, without a true knowledge and a true confession of who they know God to be, Christ to be, and who themselves to be? And therefore, the examination of oneself becomes a condition, but it's also a safety. It is also a safety for all of those who come before the table of the Lord. Because after duly examination, then they have the command, come and eat, come and drink. Have you been truly examining yourself? Then the passport is free. Then you can truly come and feast and enjoy the fellowship that this table reminds you you have with your Savior. You can come without fear of being guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, without fear of bringing condemnation upon yourself. It is a free pass. Self-examination is the true path to spiritual participation of the Lord's Supper. And it is a command that must be obeyed. Now, do you understand why it must be obeyed? Certainly, this verse gives us an expectation. The expectation that as you examine yourself, as you search your soul, as you search your mind, as you search your actions, you will come in repentance before the Lord. As we examine ourselves, as we investigate thoroughly ourselves, and we understand who we are, what we have been doing, where we are failing, then at that right moment, at that very time, we approach the Lord God, confessing our sins, expressing how sorry we are for them, asking Him to forgive us, and then fleeing to the guarantee that pardoning and salvation has been conquered for us once for all. You see, the participation of those who have been admitted to the table is mandatory because it is expected of them that after self-examination, they will repent and they will not be guilty. Now, without self-examination, there is no repentance. Without repentance, there is unworthy participation of these elements. And therefore, Christians, once again, let us be encouraged to partake of the communion in peace and with a clean conscience. Let us approach this table in peace with the Lord and with a clean conscience before Him as we examine ourselves. Take the time now to examine yourself before you put your hand in the plate. Beware of you becoming like Judas, who was betraying the Lord and yet he partook of the table. Beware of you being in sin, of you not examining yourself, and then you're partaking of this and taking condemnation upon yourself. The Lord Jesus reminds you this morning, examine yourself and come and eat. Investigate your heart. Investigate your affections. Investigate your mind and your will, and come and eat and rejoice with the great privilege that sinners such as you have a free invitation to seat at the table of the great God and Savior of sinners. You see, in the school of Christ, examination is unavoidable. As we seat before this great Master and Redeemer, we ought to be tested. The command is for you to test yourself. Test yourself. Judge yourself. Examine yourself. And then come and eat and drink and feast with the Lord of salvation. Let us pray together. Great God in heaven, as we consider your words and the duty of self-examination, we come before you praying it would forgive us. Forgive us for neglecting the duty of examining ourselves. Forgive us, O Lord, for not really giving the duly attention that self-examination requires. Forgive us, O Lord, for neglecting this great command and sinning against you as we do not take the specific time to search our hearts, to search our minds, our wills. Oh, Father, be merciful with us. But help us, O Lord, not only to repent, but to do self-examination, even now. Even now as we sing, even now as we continue to pray, even now as we continue to prepare our hearts to partake of the supper of the Lord, help us to examine ourselves, to examine our minds, our knowledge, what we know, to examine our wills, how we have been living, what are we inclined to do, to examine our affections, what are our responses to the Lord, to our salvation, and to our own sin. Lord, we pray that it would bless us in this heavenly exercise. And as we do so, Lord, grant us the cleanness of conscience we need to come before the table in a worthy manner. In Jesus' name, Father, we pray. Amen.